Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how Jesus Christ is our fellowship. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your spirit that you place within us, God. Father, I thank you for you being the one who gives us peace, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God, so that we can have a clear path, God, Father, so that we can be bold in all that we do, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around us, God. I thank you for the clear path that you've given us to walk in excellence, God, to serve you, to please you, to trust you, and to obey you, God. Father, I thank you for you being the one who gets all of the glory and all of the praise. And I thank you right now for someone being blessed by what they hear. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
For bread.
I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. It's moving. It's breaking. This worship is shifting the Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
At the Spirit Alive Sunday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, I wanted to discuss how Jesus Christ is our fellowship. And it is very important for us to know who Jesus Christ is to us individually, because it is through God's Son, Jesus Christ, that we have direct access to the throne of God. And to understand that our fellowship with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, what that means is that we have full sharing in everything that is God's is ours, and everything that is Jesus Christ is ours, because it says that we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with God's Son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ inherited in heaven and earth and under the earth, so did we. Now, to to understand what happened when you became saved and when the Holy Spirit entered your being. God placed himself within you. Jesus Christ placed himself within you. The Holy Spirit placed himself within you. And you are containing all of this power. You are full sharing with all. You are full sharing with God, with his Son Jesus Christ, through the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. And when you understand what comes with that, then the way that you maneuver, the way that you move in the world changes. So to understand that, yes, there are going to be some challenging times, but just as we share in the of Jesus Christ, we share also in the suffering of Jesus Christ. And God gets glory out of how we patiently endure that part of the full sharing, right? Well, what I want to do tonight is look at, one, God's relationship with his Son Jesus Christ that we see in the scripture over and over and over, where God openly speaks to his Son Jesus Christ from the clouds. And you see that even though this new estate has been occupied by God's Son Jesus Christ on earth, you see this continuation of the communion, of their full sharing, of their exchange. I want to look here at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, where God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And of course, this is a prophetic word about God's Son Jesus Christ before he is sent. But then we have this moment in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, where Jesus Christ was just baptized by John the Baptist, and he, as he's coming up, it says, "A voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This is God openly speaking from the sky about his Son Jesus Christ. And we see this relationship where God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because when we understand the openness of the relationship between God and his Son Jesus Christ, it's going to indicate to us the value and the power and openness of our relationship with God through his Son Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. It says, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved Son, in whom my soul delights. I will put my spirit on, and he will proclaim justice to the nations." That's Matthew 12, 18. That says exactly what it said prophetically in Isaiah 42, 1, but now it's actually speaking in real time in the gospel, where God is speaking of his Son Jesus Christ in the exact way, the same exact way that he spoke before. Then we look at Mark chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" And what we see here is how God is openly speaking and saying, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." This is how God feels about his Son, Jesus Christ, openly. And we see it over and over. Look at what it says here in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "And the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased.'" And Luke 9:34, was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And look at what it says here in verse 35 of Luke chapter 9. It says, and a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And it says, after the voice had spoken, only Jesus was present with them. The disciples kept this to themselves, and in those days, they did not tell anybody what they had seen. And so now you hear the disciples hearing God speak from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And see, our fellowship with Jesus Christ by way of us listening to him. We have to understand that God speaks through his son Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ speaks through the Holy Spirit. And when we speak, when we are in relationship with God, we are speaking through the Holy Spirit, the wonderful works of God. We are speaking in absolute power and authority, and we are standing in our position as children of God, as sons of God, and understanding that we're glorifying God in doing that because our relationship allows us to do this. And the last scripture I wanted to point out was this one in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 28, where it says, Father, glorify your name, Jesus. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And see, what we have to understand is that Jesus Christ is glorifying God's name, and as we glorify Jesus Christ, then God is glorified. See, God requires us to submit and bow down to his son Jesus Christ as our master in order to be qualified to come before his throne, because it is only the blood of God's son Jesus Christ that covers all of our sin. It is only the broken body of God's son Jesus Christ that restores us and makes us whole and allows us to be able to fully share in all that God has available to us through his son Jesus Christ. So I want to speak about specifically those things that have to do with our fellowship with God's son Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his son Jesus Christ. See, when we are speaking what God speaks through his son Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, then what we are doing is we are leading people to enter into fellowship with the Father, God Almighty, and with his son, Jesus Christ. And a powerful privilege that we have, and that is what we should be declaring to others, just as the disciples were declaring these words to others. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to speak about this just a little bit to let you know how important this is, how big of a privilege it is to be called unto the fellowship of God's son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is God's faithfulness that allows this to be possible. God has always been planning for the Jews and Gentiles to be one body through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's apparent that we read earlier in Isaiah 42:1, where God said, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And when God put his spirit on his son, Jesus Christ, he surely did bring justice to the nations, because when this is all said and done, death will be no more. Sickness will be no more. Sin will be no more. The devil, the beast, and the Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire and all those who follow them. And then we will be living, dwelling with our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, and the Lamb, and his Son, Jesus Christ. God and his Son, Jesus Christ, will be the light in the holy city. And see, we have to understand that we have been called before the foundations of the world to dwell with God Almighty. That is God's master plan. And his Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who makes that all possible. And that is the fellowship that we've entered into through God's faithfulness, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here's the thing. Many of us, we pine after being accepted and belonging to a family or to a group or to a club or to a society or whatever. And yet, God has made it available for us to be a part of the ultimate fellowship, the ultimate organization or group through his Son, Jesus Christ, right? Look at what it says here in Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." And see, we have to see and we have to understand that this communion that we have is a powerful privilege. And if we understand that, he's the one knocking on our heart. He stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hears his voice and opens the door, he will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. See, our communion, our fellowship is with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in John chapter 14, verse 23. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, I want to point out here that if a man loves Jesus Christ, you will keep his word. You'll do what he says. There's a verse where Jesus Christ says, "You are my friends if you do what I say." And now when we look at the promise to this, it says that if we obey his words, if we keep his words, it says, my Father will love him. God will love us if we obey Jesus Christ's words. If we listen to God's Son, Jesus Christ, God will love us. And then it says, and we will come unto him. We being God and Jesus Christ will come to the one who listens to the words of Jesus Christ and obeys them. And they will make their abode with the one who keeps the words of Jesus Christ. And see, this is how important it is to listen to the word of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You have to understand that there were times where there was an incident in the scripture where Mary and Martha were preparing a meal, and they were fellowshipping with Jesus Christ, and Martha was doing all the work, and she was preparing the meal, and Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus, just listening to him, just taking in his presence, and Martha was getting a little bent out of shape because she was doing all the work, and she spoke to Mary, and she said, "Why don't you get up here and help me in this kitchen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus Christ said to Martha, "Hey, Mary is doing the better thing. She is seated at my feet and receiving from me what I would have for her to have." And that is as it is with us. We have to learn how to sit at the feet of Christ and listen. We have to study God's word. And if you have a red letter Bible, right, where all the words of Jesus Christ that he spoke are in red, that's a real blessing, because when you listen to those words of Jesus Christ, then you know what is most important. Then you know what you need to do. And then when you do what those words say, then what you can expect is God to love you and to come in and fellowship with you along with his son Jesus Christ and make their abode with you. They will dwell with you. They will dwell in you. They will dwell through you. God will get great glory from you, because God is still saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And see, God chose his son Jesus Christ to do this because in God's foreknowledge, God knew that Jesus Christ was going to obey him. God knew that his son Jesus Christ was going to get the job done in spite of temptation, in spite of resistance, in spite of a whole host of challenges. Jesus Christ obeyed God even unto death, the most humiliating death, crucifixion on a cross. And yet, after this, it says that after Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was dead in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, that God raised him from the dead with the same power that raises us and brings us to life when we're saved and places the Holy Spirit within us. But when God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the stone tomb, then God seated his son Jesus Christ at his right hand, the place of privilege, the place of honor, and then gave him all power in heaven, gave him all power in earth, and gave him all power in hell. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I so that we could have God and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within us. So when you understand the power of the relationship that is within you, then you seek to build and develop that relationship by communicating with God through his son, Jesus Christ, by doing what Jesus Christ tells us to do in the scripture. So that when Jesus Christ says, "Love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who persecute you, and pray for those who persecute you," right? When you are doing the things that Jesus Christ tells you to do, and you're listening to his words and you're keeping, and you are being blessed because you're being merciful, right? You are in that place of privilege, and you're intentionally walking into this fellowship of God and Christ abiding within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are all one. God and Christ and you through the Holy Spirit. And we are all one, and we are truly dwelling with him. Look at what it says in Zechariah 2:10. It says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And see, God's desire from the beginning, and, you know, that was all the way back in the Old Testament in Zechariah, is God will dwell with his people, and his people will dwell with him. We have been grafted into the covenant that God had with Abraham when we make his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we are a part of that olive tree, it says. We have been grafted in, and we are a part of that covenant that God made with Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations. And so look at this, and understand that this idea of fellowship is, once again, an idea of full sharing. See, we don't share in part. As a matter of fact, when we are speaking in tongues, in our heavenly prayer language, we are speaking directly to God. We are coming directly before the throne through the blood of Christ, and God's Spirit is speaking to our Holy Spirit, is speaking to our mind in a language that we don't understand, and our mind speaks through our mouth words that we don't understand, and yet because those words are coming from God, they need to pass through us because they are going into the heavenlies to have an impact, to have an effect. See, the full sharing is in our participation, not just here on earth, but in our participation in the heavenlies through our full sharing, through our communion, as we speak in tongues and allow God's Spirit to speak to our spirit and our spirit to speak to our mind and our mind to speak to our mouth and our mouth to speak forth these words that magnify God, that pray perfectly, that intercede for the saints, that give praise well, that speak the magnificent works of God. We are speaking in tongues. That's what we're doing. And see, many unbelievers and many people who don't know the Bible as well as they should, if you ask them where is the devil, they'll tell you that the devil is in hell. And yet, when we read in the scripture, what we find is that the Bible tells us that the devil is in heaven before the throne of God accusing the brethren, and that Jesus Christ is defending the brethren with his blood and making intercession for the saints. He is pleading our case and our cause. And so whatever is going on in heaven, this conflict, requires our participation, or God would not need to speak to us and through us into the heavenlies, right? In an unknown to us. But God is glorified in that because we are trusting him. We are actively participating. We are communicating with him. We are full sharing in what is happening in the heavenlies when we speak in tongues. Now, one thing that I have grown to do in my old age, because when I was first saved, when I was 9 years old, I spoke in tongues and I started speaking in tongues regularly then. And as I grew and as I continued to speak in tongues and have a more fluent tongue and become more comfortable speaking to God in my heavenly prayer language, it was interesting because I noted that only when I got old enough did I really appreciate and understand the joy in singing in tongues. Because when I sing in tongues, not only am I singing the mighty works of God, the wonderful works of God, perfect prayer to God, building up my inner man, all that kind of stuff, I'm singing in tongues just as I would speak in tongues. But what's fascinating is that God is giving me music. He's giving me music to go with the unknown tongue. And what's fascinating about that is, you know, where God says that we're to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. That's the first and great commandment. Well, there are only a few things that ever occur on earth that activate both sides of your brain, your left brain, at the same time. Music is one of those things. And when you are singing in tongues, you are literally loving God with your whole mind, because both sides of your brain are being activated at the same time as you sing in tongues. And God is not just giving you the language, the foreign language that you don't understand, that is glorifying him and magnifying him and praying perfectly and interceding for the saints and speaking mysteries to God, all these things. But God is also giving you the music that is engaging both sides of your brain at the same time. And this is fascinating, because as you are singing in tongues, you are literally worshiping God with your left brain and your right brain at the same time, with words that are coming from God and music that is coming from God. My experience is that these songs are unlike anything that I've heard before. And it's really just for me and God. It's not something that anyone else will ever hear. That is what I'm doing when God and I are in the car driving. But when we talk about fellowship with God and his son Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what we're talking about, is that full sharing. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That is Jesus Christ speaking. And that is the definition of the church. a gathering, right? Of two or three being gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, "I am in the midst of them." And so it is not God's desire, God's plan, that we are walking this thing alone and we're just isolated out there all by ourselves. It doesn't mean that there won't be times when you're going to be by yourself, but you're never going to be alone, because God is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you at all times, and you're with them. So you're never alone. But when you are with two or three other believers, Jesus Christ is in you. That's when you experience the power. Look at what it says here in John chapter 14, verse 21. It says, "He that hath many commandments," it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So Jesus Christ is saying he will manifest himself to us if we have his commandments and keep them. And when we love Jesus Christ, it says, "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." Now, if you read what this is actually saying, it's saying that the prerequisite to being loved by God is for us to love his son, Jesus Christ. And it says when we love his son, Jesus Christ, by having his commandments and keeping them, doing what he says, listening to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives us not just the love of God and the love of his Son Jesus Christ, But Jesus Christ says, I will manifest myself to him. See, that manifestation of Jesus Christ in your life is the result of true fellowship. It is the fruit of you actively doing what God has given you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit that allows you to actually hear from Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ tells the Holy Spirit tells you, and you do. When you pick up the Word of God and what Jesus Christ says in the red letters, and you do what he says to do, then your relationship with God grows higher because of your obedience. And because of your obedience, this is the indication that you love God's Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, if you love him, then he'll love you, and you will be loved by God. And then Jesus Christ will manifest himself to you. Who do you know who calls themselves a child of God that does not want Jesus Christ to manifest himself to them? I tell you that that is a longing. That is something that those of us who walk with God desire in our life, because I can understand that this isn't about us. This is about God perfecting and fulfilling his plan, which says that he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him, and he's going to make a name for himself, and he's going to get glory, and he's going to get praise. This is about God. And when we listen to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and we follow his example, then we are going to experience Jesus Christ manifesting himself to us as we love him by obeying him. Look at what it says here in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 7. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And see, this is where so many people fall into the trap of unbelief, is by failing to abide in the words of Jesus Christ, failing to study God's word, know what Jesus Christ said, do what Jesus Christ said. And then it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It didn't say it might happen. It says that you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you when you abide in him and his words abide in you. If that's not enough motivation to increase your level of fellowship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that he can love you, and then God can love you, and then Jesus Christ can manifest himself to you, and then you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That level of faith is the result of you developing your relationship and your fellowship with Jesus Christ to the highest level. But one of the things that is required there is for us to not get distracted by others who would like to step into that place of Christ and become our source, become our resource, become a go-between in between us and God, because there is no other except Jesus Christ. There is no other intercessor. There is no other go-between between us and God except God's Son, Jesus Christ. And So God says, if you want to be loved by me, you have to love my son by doing what he says. Listen to my son, Jesus Christ. Bow down to my son, Jesus Christ. Make my son, Jesus Christ, your master. And then you are qualified to come unto me, right? And then look at what it says here in John 15:4. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. See, the branch is that part of the grapevine that extends out. And then it says, ye are the branches. We are the branches, right? And it says that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except to abide in the vine. And so when we're connected to the vine of Christ, Jesus Christ says, he is the vine. We are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. See, it is his desire that we are fruitful. The only way to be fruitful is to dwell connected in the vine. And as the branches, we go forth, we extend out into the world and we become fruitful as the vine, God prunes us and cuts us back and allows the energy to go into creating fruitfulness in our life so that we are producing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. I'll tell you that this fruit is the result of dwelling in the vine, the result of Christ being in you and you being in Christ to the extent that you listen to what Jesus Christ says and you obey. You do. You submit. You keep his commandments, what he tells us to do. So I highly suggest that you get a red letter Bible and study and focus on the words of Jesus Christ so that you can be in that place of fellowship and understand that what Christ meant, what Jesus Christ said, he meant because he was not speaking on his own accord. He said what God said, nothing more, nothing less. And so you can take that as a commandment. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. See, it's the love of God. It's the love of Christ. It's the consolation in Christ, the comfort of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, the bowels and mercies, right, that allow us to fulfill his joy, that we become like-minded in the body of Christ, having the same love, being of one mind, of one accord. And that one accord should be us seeking to fulfill the purpose of God on earth of reconciling the world back to God by showing the world the love of God as we love God, as we love ourselves, as we love others. And then we draw many out of the household of God by introducing them to God's Jesus Christ and showing them what the God looks like so that we love our enemies to such an extent that they become our brethren. Like Paul. Paul was a former Christian killer. authorized the killing of Christians, and he was converted to become one of the greatest apostles of all time, and is extra special to us, we Gentiles, because he was the first official apostle to the Gentiles, according to the scripture in Acts, even though Peter was the first one that actually converted the first Gentile in the household of Cornelius. Look at what it says here in Psalm 119:63. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts, right? So obedience factor here. Listening to Jesus Christ is to listen in the context of listening to obey. It is a Hebrew idea where we study not to know, as the Gentile Western mindset does. We study to obey when we study to listen to the words of Christ. And that's why I'm encouraging you to find a red letter Bible with the words of Christ and read those words and then do what you see in red. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, and walk in love, Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. See, you have to understand that Jesus Christ obeyed God even unto death. And that we, when we understand what was accomplished through his obedience, then we will walk in love as Christ also loved us. And we will acknowledge the price that he paid when he gave himself as an offering and sacrifice to God for us. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 5, verse 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, this is what I was speaking about earlier, how when I became spiritually mature, I started speaking in tongues, but not just speaking in tongues, but singing in tongues. And God was giving me the music and the words. And it's just fascinating. So when it says speaking to yourselves, so this is between you and God, in psalms and hymns and spirituals, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, that's what fellowship is. That's what communion is, right? And then look at what it says in Ephesians 5:30. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Speaking of Christ, see, that is what full sharing is, where we shared in the sufferings of Christ, but we also share in the glory of Christ. I want to end in this verse here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you, know who Christ is to you. Know who Jesus Christ is to you, and walk in the fullness of that power, of that authority, and expect God to do great things through you and to you and with you, understanding that God is going to glorify you, and God is being glorified through your obedience. So as always, from Lester Carver with Tuesday Night Teachings, Spirit Alive Network. Be ye transformed. Do-do-do-do-do.
the fog, in the dark, my belt is away.
If you
speak to my heart now,
speak to my heart.
Holy Spirit,
message of love,
love to encourage. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide, and let your word abide there.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
In my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you.
If I can hear.